beginning in verse 1, chapter 8, I'll read a portion here as Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount. He comes down from the mountain. In verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Yeah, the children can be dismissed. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. For his servant was healed that same hour. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, so that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Again, Lord, as we gather and worship you and open your word and read and study and go through your word, we ask that you plant your word in our heart, Lord. Change us from the inside out, that we might please you, Lord. We commit this time to you. We ask that you continue to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I had a special video. We couldn't get it to play, but maybe next week. It's a real upbeat. It's a joyful video. We have that to look forward to. This morning, we're going to concentrate on, in this chapter, Jesus' healing. Jesus, our healer. Through the whole chapter, Jesus demonstrates or reveals his power. You know, there's four incidents of healing we'll look at, you know, but also when he demonstrating his power over our physical being. You know, our great physician, our spiritual doctor. He holds the power over our being. We'll look at that. And as he got in the boat, he said, let us go to the other side, to the disciples. And a big storm kicked up. And they're fishermen. They're used to the sea. So it must have been a doozy for them to start freaking out. But Jesus was asleep, totally at peace. But they woke him up and said, Lord, don't you care if we perish? And he, you know, rebuked them, you faithless ones, you have little faith. And then he calmed the sea, demonstrating his power over nature. Some even say that Satan was behind that storm. But Jesus, you know, be calm, be at peace. The final demonstration of his power we see as he gets onto the island and there is met right away with these two demon-possessed men. And the other gospel account said there was one, but it's just a supplement. There's actually two. One was more dominant. And he, showing his power over Satan, casting the demons out and, you know, letting them go into the swine. They ran over the hill and died, entering into the swine. But him demonstrating his power over nature, him demonstrating his power, he's the ultimate power in the spiritual realm over Satan. He's the head of all principality and power. It's one piece that we have. You know, hey, what's going on out there? You get the heebie-jeebies sometimes when you watch a horror movie. And the truth is, he reigns in the spiritual realm. And we have that peace. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Shepherd. And he's in charge. But he reveals his power. He comes down from the mountain. The Bible tells us, before he went up on the mountain, that he was ministering and doing miracles. And, you know, kind of takes us back to, you know, for the three chapters there, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus showing himself as the great preacher and teacher, revealing, you know, the wisdom, the principles for the kingdom of God, the wisdom of God, the divine wisdom of God, comes down from the mountain and then takes up again his ministry as healer. He gets involved right away. The multitudes are following him. Many are brought to him. But we have these separate accounts of his ministry and his healing. But as our healer, his ministry, Jesus upon earth when he was here, he stood against, and still does, sin and the causes that sin bring on man, pain and misery, sickness and death. He's against sin. Jesus stands against sin, and he's in that ministry. Warren Wiersbe says this is his credentials as he comes down and he takes part and he begins to heal and he ministers is the fulfillment of the Messiah and the prophecies concerning the Messiah. We have written in verse 17 the means by which he performed these miracles. Matthew quotes Isaiah in verse 17. He said, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He bore, in Isaiah, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, our infirmities. He carried, he bore. You know, Jesus cleanses us from sin. He heals us spiritually, sometimes physically. He does miracles in our life, but there's a cost to what he does for us. The Bible says that he bore our sin. Not poof, it's gone, but it was laid upon him. He carried it, carries our sorrows. The means by which he performs these healing miracles. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. In Isaiah, in the original, It referred to mental and spiritual evils that he healed, carried our sorrows, bore our iniquities. Healing, you know, some believe that healing is for everyone. We, you know, at Calvary Chapel, like theologically, does God heal everyone that comes to him? You know, in the scripture here, it tells us that he did. You know, everyone that was brought to him, he healed. But we can assume that God wants to heal us, that he wants to bless us and heal us, unless he tells us otherwise. You know, he didn't heal everyone in the scripture. The Bible tells us that Paul came to him and prayed three times for the infirmity, and God told him no. Jesus said no. He said that, you know, lest you be exalted above measure, he said, my grace will be sufficient for you. You have and you have to keep this infirmity. Kind of gives you balance, Paul, so you won't, your pride won't take you off track. He'll do things like that in our life to give us balance or counterbalance or ballast, keep us on track if necessary. You know, but some people will say, you know, no. God's plan is that he should heal everyone. And again, I think that we can assume that he's going to heal us unless, you know, like with Joni Erickson, you know, she had that accident in Chesapeake Bay, the diving accident, broke her neck, she's paralyzed. She has so much faith. It isn't because of lack of faith that she's not healed. She's come to grips with God not healing her, and she's blessed, and God's using her. But God doesn't heal everyone. And here, though, in this ministry, Jesus healing all that came to him, we have these different accounts of people coming to him. The first account is a leper. A leper comes to him and reaches out to him and asks the Lord to cleanse him. First, he asks him, if you're willing, Lord, if you're willing, you can cleanse me. You know, to get the background of a leper, according to Leviticus, the Bible says that, you know, a leper was ostracized. They were to live outside the camp. They were to rip their clothes, cover their head, cover their mouths. And if someone came in contact or close to them, they'd have to yell out by the law, leper, unclean, leper. So they were separated from, you know, like outcasts, outside of camp, isolated from, you know, the temple, isolated from social culture and family. This leper comes to Jesus and asked Jesus directly, you know, if you are willing, you can cleanse me, Lord. You know, exercising faith, the Bible tells us Jesus touched him. And that was against the law, too, for a priest to touch a leper. But Jesus is above the law, touches him, and the Bible says that immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I like that because, you know, when the Lord touches us and cleanses us, you know, it's an immediate change that takes place. The Bible tells us in Leviticus that the priests, it was the priest's, you know, position to examine to see if they really had leprosy. And it really outlined in chapter 13 of Leviticus, you know, they would look at the skin, and if the hair would turn white, you know, they see the sore on their arm or hand or body, and they see if it was deeper than the surface. And these characteristics that are written in the Bible that would, you know, define it or describe it as leprosy are much like sin. Deeper than, you know, skin deep. It's not just a superficial problem that sinners have. It's deep. The Bible says in Leviticus 13 that it spreads, this scab, it'll spread like sin. Spreading, defiling, ruining. If we leave our sin alone, it'll destroy our lives at the end. Much regret. The Bible tells us that as the priest would examine the person, if he, you know, declared that he had leprosy, he was to send him outside the camp. And he was isolated. Isolated from God. Sin separates us from God. That's what the Bible tells us. Our own sin separates us from God. Yet, Jesus, demonstrating his power over this man, you know, touches him, heals him, and immediately he's cleansed. His leprosy is cleansed. We see another example as the centurion, the Gentile. He's a Roman. He's there for Roman occupation. He's a military man. He's there in Israel. Centurion means that he had 100 soldiers under him. Centuria, that cent means 100. He was a man that had a lot. He was an official, you know, had a lot of clout, a lot of authority. But he was very humble. When he came to Jesus, one of the other gospel accounts says that he fell down and worshipped him, pleading with him, begging with him. And you notice in this account, he falls down at Jesus' feet and he worships Jesus. And he asks for a healing, not for himself, but his servant. I got a servant at home. Can you heal him? See, the first account was a direct request. Can you heal my leprosy? This account of his healing and his intervention, Jesus heals someone indirectly by the request of another. But Jesus commends this centurion for his faith. You know, he's got such great faith. Because he mentions, you know, I also am a man under authority. I know, Lord, you don't have to go to my house. You're not, you know, my house isn't worthy to entertain you. Another example of Jesus being involved, not to get involved with Gentiles. And yet he does. And commending him for his faith, he grants his request. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus complies, heals his servant by speaking a word. The next account we have is when Jesus enters Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law, sick with a fever. She's got the flu. You see the range of these healings, from very serious critical leprosy, no known cure at that time, to a more simple form of fever, like a flu like we get all the time. The Bible says that without request, Jesus went up to Peter's mother-in-law, lays his hand on her, and heals her. She didn't even ask for it. Different types of healings without request. Carbon says, and that was a healing that I did not ask for. Healing his mother-in-law. But the last, his groups were brought to him. The multitudes. And the Bible says that he healed them all. But different differences, and in different ways they were healed. Not only different people, leper, kind of really representing an outcast, Gentile. And the Bible tells us, you know, in the book of Ephesians, that Gentiles who were afar off, away from God, like would represent someone that's not, you know, a non-Jew, or not somebody that has a religious upbringing, or, you know, didn't go to church. Jesus involved with, heals. Mother-in-law, women, you know, women at that time weren't highly regarded, but Jesus, in his love and his freedom and his liberty, how he's involved and heals different people, from the Gentile men, lepers, women, and the multitudes that are brought to him. Different methods of healing. He touches the leper. He speaks a word to the centurion. Never this similar pattern. Without request, he comes in, heals Peter's mother-in-law. Different methods, different ways Jesus heals, and different circumstances and different people. You know, the leper representing somebody that's a far out, you know, an outcast. He heals to the uttermost, those that are on the outside, away, away. You know, like drug addicts and harlots, and Jesus representing those that are outcasts. And then those that are far off, those without religious background, Jesus healing, touching, ministering, intervening. Jesus demonstrating his power over our nature, spiritual nature. And the healings, different needs, you know, representing different needs. We all have different needs. You know, we all have different situations. We all have different issues. They all range in different, you know, degrees. Some are serious, and some are not so serious. Some can be a cold or a flu. Some can be mental torment. You could be under attack. You could have anxiety. There's different things and different reasons why we go to our healer for healing. But to go to him is the key. When he commended the centurion, he said, oh, great is that guy's faith. He was pleased with his faith. But because he came to him. You know, it's one thing to acknowledge that we have a healer, but to act on that knowledge. He came to him, you know, fell at his feet, worshipped him, and then asked him, Lord, you know, just say the word, you can touch. Knowing he has the authority and power to intervene, to change, to touch, to make a difference. We see Jesus, our healer, in different aspects. In this chapter, and different peoples, different ways, different accounts, different problems, but really with no pattern that he healed with. The common denominator that ties them all together is him. He's the healer, is Christ. He's the one who brings forth the result. He's the cure, or our spiritual doctor or physician. See, it's okay to go to him. He desires we come to him for healing, for intervention. I kind of try to consolidate this since we're running late. We're going to have communion this morning. And a good opportunity to come to the table, to our healer. As the Bible says, you know, by his stripes we are healed. What he took upon himself, and to lay it upon him. Let's pray. Let's stand. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. Jesus came to minister healing, to demonstrate his power over nature, over Satan, over our being, over our physical and spiritual and mental being. Lord, you hold the power. And Lord, we come to you this morning. We ask, Lord, that you minister your touch, our malady, our issue, our problem to you, seeking your intervention, seeking your cleansing, seeking your healing, seeking your touch, seeking your help. Do, Lord, bring to mind our needs and draw us, Lord. Heal us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.